Okay, today's daf is Kuf Mem Aleph. We're going to start back at the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Amud Bet just to review. Hiniach banim u'banot v'tumtum. Remember, if he leaves sons, daughters, and a tumtum, who's safek, son, safek, daughter. Bizman shanechasim rubim, hascharim dochino to etzel anekevot. Nechasim muatim anekevot ochoto to etzel hascharim. So we said that if there's a tumtum, so basically, the way I understood the Mishnah originally was that this is based on Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Haraya, which means that he can't prove he gets the larger amount ever. So if it's that there's a lot of money and the sons inherit all the money, basically, and have to be befrenes the daughters, the sons say, you can't inherit with us, go to the girls. And if the girls are getting the mizonot because there's not enough funds to go around and then the sons don't inherit, then they push them off and they get with the boys. Okay, today we're going to see a little bit of a different interpretation of the Mishnah, or at least two possibilities of reading it. Okay, so then, and the assumption here is that it's not clear what he is, and therefore he can't be a vadai to get what he wants to get. Ha'omer im teled ishti zachar yitomaneh, yalda zachar yitomaneh, nekeva matayim, yalda nekeva notelet matayim. Right, so a person says, if you give birth to a zachar, he'll get 100. And if you give birth to a daughter, well, actually, these are first two separate statements. If you give birth to a son, I want to give him 100. And then, in fact, she gives birth to a son, so the son gets 100. Okay, we're going to get back to this in V'komini Kibunim today. If he says, if it's a daughter that you give birth to, then give her Matayim. By the way, we're talking about Zuzim, okay, 200 Zuz. So give her 200 Zuz, and if, in fact, she's Yaldana Keva, Notelet Matayim.
And this is specifically a present and not a Yerusha of sorts.
Right, this is a present, not a Yerusha. We're obviously going to have to get into the biggest problem that this Mishnah has is how can you be makne something to Davar Shelo Bala Olam? Okay, we'll get to that at the end. Im nikeva matayim, sorry, where are we? Im zachar maneh, im nikeva matayim. Let's say he says, if it's a boy, give him 100. If it's a girl, give her 200. Right. The other thing we're going to have to obviously get into in this Mishnah is, why is the girl getting more than the boy? Right. Normally, you would think we give more money to the boys. So we'll get into that later also. Im zachar maneh nekeva matayim v'yalda zachar unikeva, right? And then she gives birth to twins, which she wasn't really anticipating. Zachar notel mana nekeva notel matayim. We don't assume, oh, he was really only planning to give maximum of 200. No, we say, since he said if it's a boy, he gets 100, if it's a girl, she gets 200, then we actually divide up the money like that. But what if yalda tumtum, which is safek, a no notel? He doesn't get anything here. Imamar kol masha teled ishti yitol hareze yitol. But if he said anything my wife gives birth to, that will include a tumtum, and therefore he gets. Vim ein sham yoresh alehu yoresh takol. And clearly, if there's no other children, the tumtum will inherit everything. Now the issue,
this note says it can't possibly be twins because it's clearly the
Okay. There's a whole debate about whether this is no. The truth we mentioned yesterday. There's a debate about whether we're really talking about twins or not. But we'll leave that aside. We're explaining the Mishnah that it's twins. There's two ways to read it. We talked about yesterday, and the Gemara says it sounds like dochinoto. Okay, we'll go back to the Gemara. Dochinoto b'shakel kebat. Sounds like it means dochinoto etzalene kevo. Remember the first line. If there's a chasim rubim, we push off the tumtum, and then you must get mizono like the girls. But haktane seifa, they're going to say the assumption of that seems to contradict the end of the Mishnah, which I'm not 100% convinced that you have to read it as a contradiction. Okay, I think the way we explain the Mishnah, it sort of could work because in the beginning you say it's hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, we just push him off to the other side. Okay, but according to this, they're saying if you look at the end. Haktane seifa yada tumtum eno notel. If you were talking either zachar or nekeva, right? When you use the words yalda zachar or yalda nekeva, tumtum is not included in either one of those. And if tumtum is not included in either zachar or nekeva, then how can he collect like banim or banot in the resha? It doesn't make sense. You follow? Because if we treat him like the Nikevot, right, again, I think you could sort of read the Mishnah, he's going to fall into one of those categories, so since he can't prove he's a ben, then we stick him with a banot, or a reverse, right, depending on whoever has the more money coming to them. But they sort of read it more, he's either Zachar or Nekeva, right, according to the Reisha, because he's either going to go with the Banim or the Banot. And some of the Mefreshim explain that the issue here is that that some people view Tum Tum as a Briya B'fnei Atzma, which means he's not a Zachar or a Nekeva, he's not Banim or Banot. Okay? And therefore, not everybody thinks you have to view it that way, but that's one possible way of reading it. So therefore, what do they say? So Amar Abaye, Dochino Tova Einlo. We misread the Mishnah according to Abaye. According to Abaye, what does it mean? Hazcharim Dochino To Etzel and Kevot. The Zacharim say, go over there to that group. You're not with us. But it doesn't mean that he's going to collect with that group. Okay? He doesn't get. Okay, we're going to question Abaye soon. But that's what Abaye says. V'Rav Amar Dochino Tova Yeshlo. Rava says, no. Clearly it is the way we read the Mishnah. He does get. The Seifa Atal Rav Shim Ben Gamliel. The Seifa and the Reisha are two different opinions. The Reisha thinks he could collect like Banim or Banot. And the Seifa is like Rashbag, who says, Ditnan, Yaldat Tum Tum Vandroganus, Rav Shim Ben Gamliel, Omer, Ein Kedusha Chala Lehem. This is when you say, I'm going to bring a korban from the animal that gives birth. If it's a Zachar, I'll bring it as an Olah. If it's an Akeva, I'll bring it as a Shlamim. And then it turns out to be a tum-tum. So, ein kedusha chala alehem, that's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Again, within Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, there's two approaches. Either he thinks it's a briya b'fnei atzma, or he thinks you just can't call it a vadai, and therefore the kedusha is not chala on it. Okay? So there's two ways to understand whether he actually thinks it's not either or it's just a suffix, and because of that, we treat it that way. May
to them. Is there a time factor? As more time goes on, as the child grows, his sexual organs will be revealed? Or
so, right, so first of all, they usually say nikru'u, they, right, either it tears, right, exactly. So at some point it will be clear, but at this point it's not clear. Okay? Whereas he is less of a suffix down the road than an androgynous, which is both, which you can't treat as either zachar or nekeva, because it's both. On the other hand, since it has simanei zechrut and nekevut, maybe, you know, you could see that it's hard to say what the differences would be in this case.
I don't understand why it's a contradiction between the beginning and the end. If one part is talking about a matana, one part is talking about Yerusha, there just seem to be unrelated things.
It's not a matter of matana, Yerusha, it's a matter of, does the wording include, the banim, banot, zachar, nekeva, does that include a tum-tum or does it not? Doesn't matter whether we're talking Yerusha, whether we're talking matana, the issue is, when you say tum tum yoresh tekol, that's not what we're worried about. We're talking about when the person said zachar or nekeva, was he including or was he not including the tum tum? And if you say he clearly wasn't including the tum tum, then you'd say, well, if he doesn't fall into zachar or nekeva, then how could he fall into zachar or nekeva when it comes to the mizonot or the Yerusha? Okay? Okay, made today. Now we have a contradiction. Metive, tum tum yoresh kibem v'nizon kibat. Okay, so now we have a source that says, a braita, a tum tum is yoresh kibem v'nizon kibat. Okay, so now obviously this is going to only work according to Rava, who says yeshlo, right? Dochinoto v'yeshlo. In other words, how do you explain that a tum tum is yoresh kibem v'nizon kibat? So bishlama la Rava, yoresh kibem v'nechasim muatim, v'nizon kibat v'nechasim rubin. Okay, in other words, if it's nechasim muatin, then he'll be yoresh keben, which means he'll get almost nothing really, right? But if he's nizon kibat, if it's nechasim rubin, then he can't get the big inheritance, but he's nizon kibat. So that makes sense according to Rabbi, who says dochino to v'yeshlo. But according to Abaye, Elal Abaye, who says dochino to v'einlo, he doesn't get anything, then my nizon kibat. How can you explain nizon kibat? Okay? So Abaye answers like this. V'litamech l'Rava, my yoresh keben. But Rava, even you have an issue, because when you say yoresh keben, when there's nechasim muatin, the ben is not really yoresh, right? Now, it's not 100% true, because the ben is sort of yoresh in a case where there is money, enough, you know, there's a little bit extra, but really the ben is not yoresh very much. And he's saying, therefore, what does it mean, yoresh keben? Ella ra'oi liresh ve'ein lo. He's worthy of getting inheritance with the bein, but in fact he doesn't. Okay, in other words, because he's this suffek or briya b'fnei atzma, wherever you read it, he should in theory get kibein, And it had a Rava read, let's just read Rava. When we said Bishlam ala Rava, Yoresh Keben Ben Chasim Muatim, we said, well, he doesn't really get it. It's just we put him in the category of the Ben, but he doesn't get any money. So therefore, comes Abai, it's not the strongest answer, but he says, since that case anyway is Ra'oi Li Rash Ve'en Lo, Hachanami Ra'oi Lazun Ve'en Lo. When it comes to the girl, what do we say? The girl is Ra'oi Lazun, but Ein Lo. Okay, but I'm sorry, the tumtum is ra'oi lizon with the bat. Okay, in theory, he should be able to get mizonot with the bat. However, we don't actually give it to him. Okay, so according to Abaye, you'd have to understand, right, dochinoto, which means he should go into that category, but in fact he doesn't. Again, it's a bit of a weakness because it doesn't really fit well with the words yoresh keben benizon kibat, but I come up with a way that Abaye could somewhat read that source. Okay, now we're going to go back to the case of Ha'omerim Yaldayish Ti Zachar or Yaldayish Ti Nekeba. So the first question that's bothering the Gemara, which I find interesting, so the first question is, why is the daughter getting 200 in this case and the son 100? Now obviously, why is it? Because that's what the father said. But the question is, why would the father say, I'm giving the daughter 200, if it's a girl, I'll give her 200, if it's a boy, I'll give him 100? Because what does it sound like from this? That he'd prefer to have a girl. Now, all the sources know that ben adifa mi bat. So, lememra, debat adifa le mi ben, could it really be that it's better to have a girl than a son? Okay, you're going to find this answer is very interesting. V'ha, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we already learned this a little while ago. Kol she'eino miniach ben li yorsho, hakadosh baruch hu male alav evra. Anyone who doesn't leave a son to inherit him, God gets very angry at him. Remember, if you have no sons, what happens? Your nachala is ha'avartem. It passes over to the daughter. Ve'ein ha'avara ela evra. And if, right, the root of ha'avara is the same as the root of evra, which is anger. Shenemar yom evra hayom azeh. This day will be a day of anger, that God will be angry at people. And they learn from here, the Jewish people, and we learn from here that that v'havartem is a bad thing. If you don't leave over sons, it's a bad thing. So therefore, how could it possibly be that this man is happy to have a daughter and not, happier to have a daughter than he is to have a son? Okay, we're going to have three possible answers. First of all, this doesn't mean he's necessarily happier to have a daughter. He's just saying, I'm giving the daughter more money. So why would he do that? L'inyan Yerusha ben adifle. But linyan har bachanad, when it comes to Yerusha, so you want to have a ben. That's v'avartem nachalato lebito. As you really need to have a son to inherit you. And why is that? The Rashbam says, because, the son takes your name. He passes, the nachala passes to him. If you pass your nachala to your daughter, it's going out of the shevet. So that all makes a lot of sense. But linyan har vacha bito adifa. This is a little less clear. What does it mean har vacha? But the assumption is, right, that we want her to have money to sustain herself. Now, again, there's two different interpretations given to this. Number one, it goes back to what we talked about yesterday. We want her to have sustenance so that she doesn't have to knock on people's doors begging for money, because either it's not sanua, it's not appropriate for her, or also she has less capability, the assumption is, of making money. So therefore, in terms of providing for her, and you think about, right, fathers in general are sometimes a little more overprotective of their daughters and giving them more things, right? There's this concept of protection of daughters that you don't need as much for sons. You feel sons can fend for themselves. Daughters, we need to protect them more. So, therefore, they say when it comes to how much money he's going to give to each child, one can see he would prefer to give his daughter more money. The second option is it's not really necessarily for sustenance, it's for her dowry. For the Matayim Zuz also, right, is this number that, again, the Matayim Zuz is what the husband commits to the wife in the marriage, but it's also, reminds you of the ketubah money and the dowry and it's the certain amount a person needs to live on. That's why the woman's promised 200 zuz. Also, he's giving his daughter 200 zuz to live on. So therefore, we're going to say that also he wants to provide for her in the sense of a dowry that obviously he doesn't need for his sons, he needs for his daughters. So that's one option, to say that linyan Yerusha ben Adifle, but when it comes to Arbachan, this gift he's giving, we're going to give more to the daughter to provide for her. The second option, Ushmuel Amar Hacha b'mivakeret askinan. We're talking about the firstborn. Now, here, interesting, right? You always think people would rather have a bechor, a son of firstborn, right? That's because then you have a legitimate Bechor, you know, the Bechor is always the firstborn son. But in fact, we're going to learn here, and this makes sense, but there's a lot of people who feel this way also. They're happy to have girls first, and what's the reason? It's like what Rav Chisda says, Da'am Rav Chisda. Now we're going to have two different interpretations of what Rav Chisda means by this. Bat chila, siman yafe lebanim. Okay? It's not that the bat chila has a good in of herself, but it's because it's a siman yafe lebanim. So what does it mean it's a siman yafe lebanim? We're going to have two interpretations. Ika da'amre, dimarbia la'acha. She's going to raise the sons. In other words, right? This is why people like having a daughter first. She takes care of things in the house. She takes care of the younger children. V'iga da'amre, right? As much as we laugh about all this and we say, you know, this is sort of the anti-feminist view, but a lot of these things happen to be very true. You know, you have sons who have, you have parents who have no sons, and the father particularly, you know, is upset he doesn't have a son to pass on his, right? There's certain things about having a son, although I could see that, you know, not having any daughters would also elicit the same response possibly, but sometimes you feel like there's a bit of a stronger sense of a father having a son. And the issue of having a daughter first and taking care of the other children, one could also see that. V'ika da'amre de'lo shalta be'ein abisha. This one's a little more difficult. What's going to happen here? The ayin hara is not going to be sholeit if he has a daughter first. Why is that? Because the assumption is that if you have a lot of sons, people will look and say, oh, look at that man, he's got so many sons, and that's going to bring the ayin hara. So at least if he starts off with a daughter, it doesn't, right? If you start having son, then you have a daughter, it looks like there's more sons. But if you have an older daughter already, people look, oh, he's got a daughter. It's not like, oh, look at that man, he's got so many sons. Not as convincing, but, and also much less from a modern eye, you know, how one views it.
None of this is from a modern eye,
but I'm saying, right, and that's, the other ones, though, you could still see that people are still happy, yeah, even with a modern eye. Yeah. Girls as older daughters, definitely people are happy with. Again, they wouldn't be upset that they don't have a son, but, you know, they wouldn't say, you know, oh, I'm upset if I have a son. I wish I had a daughter first. Most people wouldn't really say that, but you could see the benefits. But again, yes, this whole sugya is not very modern and is you know, difficult to swallow bichlal with the modern eye. But if you were feeling kind of bad about it, Rav Chisda ends and says, "I'm Rav Chisda ulididi bintan adifali mibnei." But me personally, I prefer daughters to sons. Now, this obviously causes a whole discussion among the Mefarshim. What's the deal here? Some people say his sons died in his lifetime and his daughters didn't, and that's why. And maybe, you know, because of that, he had a lot of tzaras from his sons. Some people, you know, on the other hand, some people say, what do you mean? We see his sons in the Gemara. We see the sons of Rav Chisda. Now, they happen to not be the most famous Talmidei Chachamim. Others say, well, his daughters, Dafka married big Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, one of his daughters married Rava. One of his daughters married Rami Barhama. I forgot who the third married. But we've seen his daughters, by the way. They've come up a lot. And, you know, he had daughters who, again, now, where he started very, you know, I like my daughters, the Mefarshim take it back to a place of they were facilitators, right? They married Talmidei Chachamim, and because of that, that was their zchut. But the pshat seems to be, and you can imagine, if they did marry these great Talmidei Chachamim, they must have had many zchuyot. They were ra'oi on their own, and therefore he was saying, my daughters have almost, it's almost like saying, it's proven this whole thing wrong, right? That my daughters prove that it's very nice to have daughters. V'ibayt ema, or alternatively, you could say, hamane Rabbi Yehuda hi. This Mishnah doesn't follow the mainstream, it follows Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Now they obviously have to say, well, which statement of Rabbi Yehuda? Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, where do you see the Rabbi Yehuda was ma'adif banot albanim? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda de bakol. Okay, if you remember, right, in benching we say bakol mikokol. What is that? It's from these psukim of Avram berachet, Hashem berachet Abraham bakol. There's one by Yitzchak and by Yaakov where the word kol appears. So we're going to deal with the one Hashem berachet Abraham bakol. Titania Hashem berachet Abraham bakol. What does it mean? Hashem gave Avram everything bakol. What is bakol? Rabbi Meir Omer shelo hayalo bat. Okay, that he, you know, he had only sons. That was the best blessing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here's our shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Shaita lo bat, ubakol shma. Her name was Bakol. So Avraham berachad Avraham Bakol meant with a daughter whose name was Bakol. Okay, strange name, but that's what they say, right? Tough to know what the names were in those days, right? Maybe it was a normal name. So now they say, wait, that doesn't prove anything, though, because...
Your friends who named their daughter that.
Oh, yeah?
She's about 15, right.
Your friends named it based on this stuff, this midrash. So, Imor deshamat le'le Rabbi Yehuda bar tanami lo chasrei rachman al Avraham. Da'adifa mi ben mi shamat le. This whole statement was only telling you that Avram berachad Avraham, Hashem berachad Avraham bakol, meaning he also had a daughter, right? Meaning he had a full house, also daughters, also sons. But it's not saying that daughters are better than sons. So therefore, el ha-Rabbi Yehuda, it must be a different Rabbi, it must be this Rabbi Yehuda. Titania, mitzvah lazunet habanot. Okay, there's a mitzvah to give sustenance to your daughters. V'kavachomer lebanim de'aske b'torah. Here we go back to our suggestion yesterday about Admon. That all the more so, you have to give food to your sustenance to your sons because they're learning Torah and you have to enable them to learn Torah. A lot of things in these sugyot about enabling other people to do mitzvot, right? So it's those things that don't sit well with me about it. Especially, I mean, in this case, it's the father giving sustenance to the sons so that they can learn. That's okay, but number one, that they should get more because they learn and the girls don't. But also the fact that the girls are enablers to the boys to allow them to, you know, to take care of them to, it's more the more difficult sources. Right, it connects to that source about the women, that they get sachar for allowing, enabling their husbands and sons to learn Torah. Right? That's always a source that's not sat well with me. Although one time I did have a nice pshat in it. Maybe I'll share it with you sometime. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitzvah lazunet habanim ve'kal v'chomer lebanot zelo litzalan. Now he says, and this would support our statement that he wants to give the girl more, because Rabbi Yehuda says, a mitzvah to give your son sustenance, right? He reverses the order of Rabbi Meir. Kal v'chomer, you have to give to your daughter's sustenance. Okay, and why is that? So they shouldn't be humiliated to go knocking on people's doors, okay? Or humiliated that they can't get someone to marry them, right? It's humiliating. So therefore, you see here that it's more important, because the Kal V'chomer works that way, right? All the more so to your daughters. Kal V'chomer works to show that you have to give more money to your daughters. So therefore, what do we say? And this actually goes back to the first answer, right, the Inyan Ha'adafa, Banoder Adifot, but now they're saying it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we have three answers. One was the Rav Chadabat Adifa. The second was Mivakeret, the oldest daughter. It's a Siman Yafeh Lebanim. Two interpretations of how to read that. And the third is, it's just Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which we see, it's Kal V'chomer Labanot. Okay, Adif to support them, which like I said, it connects back to the first really. Okay, now we have another question. Now we're going to basically bring two different brightot, and each time we're going to do the same thing. There's another brightot that's similar to our Mishnah, but a little bit different, and it doesn't really tell you what the scenario was, and the Gemara is going to say, this is the scenario they were discussing. Ella haditanya, this brightot that says, Yalda zachar unikeva, hazachar notel shisha dinarim, v'hanikeva notel et shnei dinarim, bimai. Okay, here's a braita that says, if he has a zachar and a nekeva, then the zachar gets 60 dinarim and the nekeva 2. So before we move on, we have to get to what's the 6 and the 2. So the 6 dinarim and the 2 dinarim are dinare zahav. If you remember, we learned before, a dinar zahav is 1/25th of a dinar kesef. Okay, when we talk about dinarim generally, we're usually talking about dinare kesef, and they're synonymous with zuzim. Okay, so now this is basically 1/25th of a zuz. So if you multiply 6 times 25 and 2 times 25, you get 150 and 50, right? So we're now much closer to the numbers we were discussing before, because otherwise this doesn't make any sense. What numbers are we discussing? So before we're discussing 100 and 200. So we're going to have to figure out exactly. So at least now we're in the ballpark of the numbers. But now we're going to say the zachar gets 150 and the nekeva gets 50. But now we don't know what the father said, right? In other words, it's obviously not our case. Our case was im zachar maneh, im nekeva matayim, and you certainly wouldn't get to 150 and 50 according to that. So they want to know, b'mai, what's the case? So Amar Rav Ashi, Amarita l'shmata kamedu Rav Kahana, I told this in front of Rav Kahana, b'misares. Okay, I told it to him cut off like this. Damar, In other words, that it was said cut off. So here's what really happened. He says, Zachar tchila, if I have a male son first, matayim. Nikeva achara velo klum. If the first one that comes out is a zachar, then he gets matayim. If the nikeva comes after him, she gets nothing. Okay, so if the order is zachar nikeva, it's 200-0. Nikeva tchila, if she comes first, she gets mana, 100. Right, this is the opposite order of ours, right, where the daughter gets less. Zachar achareha mane, and if the second is a zachar, then he gets 100. V'yalda zachar u'nekeva. Now, by the way, this supports the reading, if we're going to connect this right to Charmisha, that there actually were twins. If he in fact gives birth to a zachar and a nekeva, right, it's unclear whether the father knew they were twins and was talking in a language of twins. Probably he didn't know. What he meant is first child, second child, but then they have children, right, as twins, and they're not sure who came first. They don't know who comes first. So, Zachar shakil mane mimanav shach. No matter what, the Zachar was promised 100. And the first, right, if he came first, he was promised 200. If he came second, he was promised 100. So, no matter what, he gets 100. What about the other? In other words, in theory, the father was intending to give 200, right? Because Zachar tchila matayim. Nikeva first mana and zahar mana. So we had 200 to give out. So the first 100 vade goes to the ben. The second 100, what do we say? Right? Mamona mutaba safek v'cholkin. Okay, so therefore they split a 50-50. So that's why the zahar gets 150 and the nikeva gets 50. Okay, next case, we're going to say try to figure out what the scenario is. V'haditanya yalda zaharu nikeva. What about the case where it says if she gives birth to a zachar and a nekeva, ein lo elamane? This is a very strange, right? He doesn't get only 100. Okay, first of all, who's the he? What about the right? There's a zachar and a nekeva. It sounds like maybe only the zachar. And where's mane? Only mane, which means there's more to be had, but he's only getting mane. So what's this case bichla? So I'm a Ravina. Bimivasreni. It's talking about a case where he's not offering the money to the child, to the fetus, you know, the future baby. Who he's offering it to is the mivasreni, meaning the person who tells me what my wife gave birth to. Remember, they weren't in the labor in the delivery room. The person who comes and gives me the news of what I had will get money. Okay, Ditanya. Right, and then it depends. If he tells me it's a right, so then we're going to see. Ditanya hamivasreni b'men niftar rachmash alishti. If you tell me what the petarechem of my wife is, right, what the firstborn of my wife is, im zachar, or the right, would it have to be b'chor the petarechem? Okay, I think petarechem is only a term that refers to a b'chor. Anyway, what comes out of the womb of my wife? If you tell me, okay, here he says like this. If the person who comes to tell me what happened, im zachar yitol maneh. Okay, if he says, if you tell me I had a son, then you'll get a maneh. So then, yalda zachar no tel maneh, right? Again, if she gives birth to a zachar, then he'll get maneh. Im nikeva maneh, if he says the words, the mivasreni, if he says it's a nikeva, he'll get a maneh, he'll get 100. So yalda nikeva no tel maneh. But what if he said, the mivasreni, if it's a zachar, you'll get 100. If it's a nekeva, you'll get 100. And then what happened? Yalda zachar unekeva, ein lo ela mane. Okay, in that case, he only gets a mane because he wasn't planning on spending 200 shekel, right? He was planning on spending 100. He just figured it's either a boy or a girl. So in that case, and that's why it says, so now we've understood what the lo is. The lo is the mivasreni, not the son. Right? And that's why the daughter doesn't get, because also the son doesn't get. And mane, it's only a mane, because in theory he might have thought he got 200, because it was both a boy and a girl. But no, he really only gets a mane. So now the Gemara asks, wait a minute. V'haz zachar unikeva lo amar. There's three options. Either the mivasreni is going to say you had a son, or the mivasreni is going to say you had a daughter, or the mivasreni is going to say you have a son and a daughter. But you have a son and a daughter is a totally different thing than saying you have a son or you have a daughter. Anyone who knows, has twins will know that, right? So therefore, what are we going to say here? That wasn't included. When he said, if you tell me it's a zachar, that wasn't included for you to say zachar unikeva. So in theory, he should actually get nothing. So therefore, what do they say? Oh, they say, no, it must be. They also said, Da'amar nami im zachar unikeva nami yitol mane. Okay, it must be that he said, if it's twins, then you should get a mane, right? You can imagine this would only be relevant, right? It's interesting to wonder how common twins were, right? You might not have thought he would say.
More common than tumtums, I would bet.
So some of them ask, why isn't tumtum mentioned here, right? And the assumption is exactly that. The tumtum was so uncommon, and people didn't anticipate having a tumtum. We'll see in a second, because it really comes up in another second from now where they ask it. Okay, so hold off. Nikeva nami yitol mane, right? So then they say, wait a minute. If he says, im zachar yitol mane, im nikeva yitol mane, right? Im zachar unikeva yitol mane, well then, lemute mai. What case did you... He basically explained all the cases, which means, why do you even need to tell us this? It's quite obvious. So, what do they answer? Lemute nefel. It's to say, if you tell me it's a healthy child, right, rather than a child that's not going to make it. Okay, so if the Mivasreni comes and says you had a baby, but the baby didn't make it, then that's not going to be included. Now, there the Mefarshim asks, why didn't they say Lemute Tumtum? Right? That it's coming to say, well, if it was a Tumtum, it wouldn't work. And that's because nobody even thinks, oh, maybe that's a possibility. So you wouldn't need, you wouldn't have someone say, because the point is, why did the person give all the stipulations? What else was he expecting to happen? So people wouldn't stipulate something to lema'ek tumtum, because it just wouldn't even come into his mind, okay? Which is another proof that tumtum was quite rare, and there was just really a discussion that the rabbis used. But this wasn't the rabbis talking, this is a person talking, right? They're giving an example of a person who stipulated all of these items.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, if they have two girls, or they have twin girls, or
it doesn't talk about that, right? That's true. Why didn't they suggest that as a possibility? Right. It's a good question. Right. Why the twin option of two boys or two girls doesn't come up? It's a good question. Yeah.
I just find these Mishnah are totally irrelevant. I mean, not irrelevant, but I don't see what the significance of them are. This is not something that was customary. It was so obviously one or a couple of people's arbitrary decisions to give money when the wife has the baby.
Okay. So you know what?
There's no halachic. There's no...
I might have mentioned it back when, but I forgot to repeat it here. No, but maybe I didn't say this at all, and that's very important. Something's sort of obvious. You know, this person's on his deathbed, and his wife is pregnant. Yeah, it's a shchiv mera. That changes things. I'm sorry I didn't specify that. He's a shchiv mera. So he's on his deathbed, and his wife is pregnant. So what he's saying is, right. That's why also the option of it being one child after another is a very difficult option here, because he's on his deathbed and she's pregnant with a child for him, and she's not going to get pregnant again. So the assumption is he meant really one after the other is the twins.
So this is like a Yerusha.
He's on his deathbed and he wants to pass on. He's saying, well, you're about to have a baby. You know, if the baby's a boy, I want you to give this boy a gift of this. And if it's a girl, right. Thank you for asking that and reminding me that. I forgot to mention that. Very important point in understanding what the sugya means. Or more, not what it means, we can understand it without, but what the, right, in the context, what the relevance of it is.
So that makes it, so when he says it's nefal, then that would be a pretty big thing, because then he has no...
Okay, well, first of all, it's not clear this is his first child or not. That's why the question is the peta rechem, does it mean... I'm not sure peta rechem is... I think
her.
Right, I think it could just... Right, it could be hers, could be... it could be just what's yotzei from the rechem of my wife. I'm not sure it means specifically bechor. I mean, the Torah, they say peter rechem, but I'm not sure. But right, it could be he'll have no children after that, in which case Dine Yerusha will kick in, it'll go to, you know, his father, siblings, that kind of thing. So, now we're going to have another case. Hahuda amar la l'dibitu. He says to his wife, Nechasai lahai dema'aberet. My nechasim are going to the one who you're pregnant with. Again, he's on his deathbed and he's saying, I want you to give everything to the one you're pregnant with. Amar Rav Huna, have mezake l'ubar, va mezake l'ubar lo kane. What do you mean? Rav Huna says, this doesn't work, right? This case, he says, right, there was, whether there was a case that happened, it sounds like, because usually ahu is a case that happened. And Rav Huna says, the ubar gets nothing. Okay, it goes to other yorshim, basically. Because it's right, yafeh. Because it's sevar sheino bala olam, and therefore I'm zakeh l'uber lo kana. Which obviously we're going to have to say. Well, our whole Mishnah was prefaced on this, was based on that. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to raise it. Not to worry. That's exactly the first question. Etive Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna like this: how look at our Mishnah? How omerim yaldai ishi zachar yitol mane yaldai zachar no tel mane. Sorry, I didn't read it right. Im yaldah ishti zachar yitol maneh, and therefore, in fact, if yaldah zachar no tel maneh, it works, right? Etc. Etc. Right? All the cases in the Mishnah are cases where he was on his deathbed, he was mizalke something to an ubar which wasn't yet in existence, and it worked. So what's Rav Huna's answer? Amarle mishnatenu eini yodah mishnah. I don't know who holds who's the author of this Mishnah, and therefore I don't hold by our Mishnah. Okay, it's a very blatant rejection of a Mishnah. It's not common that someone does this. And because it's not so common that we'll just reject a Mishnah, even though we've seen this before, we've seen once in a while, they're stuck in a corner and they say, I don't know who is the author of this Mishnah, and therefore, you know, put it aside. Like, you can't use it as a contradiction to me. The Gemara is going to be troubled by this, and the Gemara is going to suggest, okay, I counted, 7 possible answers that Rav Huna could have said instead of saying Eini Yodeh Mishnah, and each one they're going to basically say, oh, we can say, we're going to reject, and they're going to suggest, why didn't he say this? And then the Gemara is going to reject it and say there was a good reason why he didn't say it, and they're going to prove why he couldn't have said any of these things. It's actually not in my head right now, but the last one actually is an option. I think it's not even. Okay, so I think they're all rejected. Certainly the first 6, maybe even the last. Okay, so let's go through the 7 options. Rabbi Meir, he. Why don't you say it's Rabbi Meir? This is the simplest, because what do we know about Rabbi Meir? Damar Adam makne davar shelo bala v'lam. We've seen this a number of times. The Rabbi Meir has a unique shita that you can give something to someone, you know, that either something that's not in existence or to someone. In our case, it's to someone who's not in existence. So now they say, no, that's not true, because we've said this many times. Imor deshamat el Rabbi Meir ledavar sheyeshno ba'olam. The Devar She'eno Ba'olam Mishamatle. We saw this even a few dapim ago. When Rabbi Meir says you can be Makneh Devar She'lo Ba'olam, we're talking about fruits from a tree, right? Or something that's basically going to come, okay? As opposed to something that's not even in the Olam at all, okay? Whereas the fruits, there's a bud already, there's something in this world, whereas the baby is not yet in this world. Right, you could, yes. Okay, so you could argue, right? You could argue, what do you mean? The mother's here, like the tree, okay? However, I think that the rate of death was much stronger, right, in childbirth, right? Many children didn't make it, and because of that, I think it's also somewhat of a percentage game here. There's a less likelihood of a child making it than the fruit, right? The fruit is definitely going to grow. I mean, maybe there'll be something that messes it up, but the fruit is a much more of a vadai thing.
Maybe that's the distinction between the two cases, whereas in the case of I want this baby to get the, it's saying that this baby is going to be, whereas in the other case it says if it's a boy, it's the if that they put in makes it more that it's dependent on the if.
Dependent on, so therefore, and if nothing happens, nothing happens. Whereas here, that's an interesting distinction. That our Mishnah is saying, if it's a boy, so we can make a condition, because if the condition comes true, then it'll come true and it'll happen. Whereas that's a good answer. Whereas here, I think the Rav Huna would still be bothered, because he still says, you're saying, if it's born, you're talking to something that's not born yet, and it's still, but it does sound like a good possible direction, but I'm not sure we convinced Rav Huna, though. Okay. So, next option. That was number 1. Number 2. V'lei male Rabbi Yosihi. Maybe it's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Da'amar ubarkane. Maybe the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi and Rav Huna doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi. Why didn't he just say that? How do we know that Rabbi Yossi holds ubarkane? Titznan ubar posel v'eino ma'achil devrei Rabbi Yossi. What does this mean? We've learned this long time ago. That nubar, I think, comes up in Yevamot. If a woman is married to a Kohen, she gets to eat truma. If you're an Eved Kenani of a Kohen, you get to eat truma. If the husband dies, if he left over sons who can eat truma, then the wife, right, who has sons through the husband, gets to eat truma as long as she doesn't go marry a Yisrael, right, or a Levi. But, so Kolod, she's not married and has sons, she gets to do it. The Avadim also, if they're sons, then they get to continue eating truma, because the sons inherit the avadim, and therefore they can eat truma. But if there's no sons, then the wife doesn't get truma, the avadim don't get truma. What if the wife's pregnant, and maybe it'll be a boy? So the ubar is posel ve'enom achil. He's posel, now what is he posel? He's posel his avadim kananim. What does that imply? That he already inherited them when he's be'ubar, when he's an ubar. So he inherits the slaves. However, he passes them from eating truma. Until he's born, they can't eat truma. Ve'enom achil, and he doesn't allow his mother, right, the posel is about the eved, and the machil is he doesn't allow his mother to eat truma until he's born. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So now, why don't we say, there you see, Ubar is Kone, because he is Kone the Avadim, he's just not enough to allow them to eat Truma, but he is Kone them. So what do they say? No, that's different from our case, because Shana Yerusha Haba Me'eleha. As soon as he's born, it goes straight to him, no matter what, right? If he's born later, it'll still be his inheritance, because he's still a son of that person. But the present that this husband is saying, you know, if you're a zachar, then you'll get this. That's machne, being machne, a gift that wouldn't have been coming to him unless this kinyan was effective. And how could the kinyan be effective? So therefore, they say you can't compare. Third option. V'lemale Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he damar loshna Yerusha v'loshna Matana. We go back to the famous Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says it doesn't matter if you use the lashon of Yerusha or the lashon of Matana, as long as he's ra'oili or sho, you can pass on to your child. Now, the assumption right now of the Gemara is he must mean even a fetus, okay? Because anyone who's ra'oili or sho, that should include a fetus. Ditnan. Rabbi Yochanan mebroka omer, imamar al misha ra'oili or sho, which would include a fetus, dvarav kayamim. Okay, so now they say, what do you mean? It doesn't say that explicitly. Imur deshamale l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka l'davar sheyeshno ba'olam. He was only talking about Misha Ro'ili or Sho if he's already in existence. Okay, meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka now, if he wants to prefer one son to the other, he can't choose a fetus, okay? He has to choose a kid that's in the world. Okay, but she'eno ba'olam mi'amar, right? Who's to say that he was talking about a fetus, right? That was just an assumption you made, but it's not necessarily true. So then, option number four, it's really kind of within option number three. So why don't you say, or it's really a combination of two and three, V'lemale Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, yivasever like Rabbi Yossi. Why don't you say, it goes according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who held like Rabbi Yossi, that an ubar is kone, in which case, Ro'ili or Sho should work even to an ubar. So then they say, it's very nice to suggest that maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka held like Rabbi Yossi, but who, right? Miyemar desaverla. We have no idea whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka held like Rabbi Yossi, so we can make up this theory that maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka held like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore he was referring to even an ubar, and therefore Rav Huna could say that's their shita, but we don't hold that way, but we have no idea that that's the case. The lemale, option number five, bimibasreni. Maybe you would say that the Mishnah, just like we had that bright time, we said he wasn't machne to the ubar, he was machne to a third party, right? The person who comes and tells me about my wife having a baby. Maybe our mission is talking about that. So they say, no, that can't possibly be. Because Yihachi de Katane Seifa, what does it say in the Seifa there? Vim ein sham yoresh elahu yoresh hakol. Remember? If there's no one except the tumtum, then he gets everything. So it's clear that our Mishnah wasn't talking about a mivasreini. When we explained the Braita was talking about a mivasreini, the Braita just said, ein lo elamane, right? There was nothing else in that Braita to contradict the presumption that it was talking about some third party. But in our Mishnah, it's clear that the subject is the Ubar. So you can't say that. So we're still stuck with, how does he give it to the Ubar? I didn't finish reading. And even Mivasreni, Yoresh Maya Vidate, right? So then, if it's the Mivasreni, what does it have to do with Yerusha? Right? In other words, if you wanted to say, Mansham Yoresh Alahu Yoresh HaKol, it would be the Mivasreni's Yoresh HaKol. That makes absolutely no sense. So, v'leimale bishe yalda. Why don't you just say that what he said to her is, I'll be machne to you when the baby's born, right? I'll be machne to the baby, and if it's zachar, then give him a mane, bishe yalda, when she gives birth. So, ihachi dekatane seifa, v'mamar kol mashate ladish chi yitol, hareze yitol. But then it says that the Seifa also doesn't match this, because it says, kol mashet teledish chi. What should it should have said? Right? Kol she teled, kol she yalda mibayele. If you really meant when she gives birth, it should have said the words, kol she yalda. Okay, last option. Velemale da'amar lichishet teled. Why don't you say that he said, when, right? L'chishetele, when the baby's born, not when she gives birth, not focusing on the woman, which then wouldn't match that lashon later, but focusing on when the baby's born. Okay, we'll stop here for today. It's going to continue in this vein. We'll see whether they actually accept this or not, and it's going to split into, we're going to see it through a machloket and go into that.